to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
And welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Are you a survivor, a true thriver? We have on our show today an incredible guest. She is one of the last surviving female members of the show, reality show Survivors, Holly Hoffman. She has an incredible story. Not only does she talk about everything that she experienced on the reality show, but how she's applied that to her life. And now she is an inspirational speaker, she's an author, she's a mother, she's just a powerhouse. So help me welcome her to the show, Holly Hoffman. How are you, precious?
I'm doing great. How are you? I'm so honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I thought I was going to lose you there for a minute. We had to do some switcheroos, but thank you so much for being flexible. I love you. It's important that we get it right, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Sometimes that's what it takes, and it'll get there. We're good.
That's right. So, Holly, tell my brains a little bit about your experience on the show Survivor, and then we're going to backtrack and put the pieces together.
Well, it was something I didn't expect to happen, to be very honest with you. I watched Survivor myself, and when I watched the show, I thought, oh, you know what, this is something that I would like to try, and I really wonder if these people call you back. And all of my children were off to college. And I sent it an audition tape, and I filled out the application and sent it in, and I was totally shocked when they called me. I actually thought for a minute that it was someone playing a joke on me. And so when they called me, I was truthfully shocked.
Well, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that try out for that. What did that audition tape look like? Did you have to eat bugs and lift 500 pounds? What did that look like?
No, you know, they said that a lot of people do that and they're eliminated immediately. They want to know about you. I mean, they want to know your personality, your background. And I just stood behind a table and I put a picture of each one of our children on the table and I lifted them individually and explained that they were all off to college and I wanted this challenge and I wanted this adventure and so forth. And I really didn't do anything special. It was, you know, I had a t-shirt on, a pair of running shorts, and I just told them about me. And they said it was, of course, when you go to your casting call, then you have to take tons of tests. You know, I had to take a personality test, an IQ test, a physical fitness test. And then what they do is they get all these people from all walks of life, and they throw them in the middle of a jungle. You're sleep deprived, you're starving, you're fighting the elements, and it's survival. And it's truly, how are you going to survive?
And so you mean to tell me that after the cameras go off, there's not some nice catering truck with a full-on buffet of shrimp and lobster for all the people there?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. And here's another thing. The cameras never go off. You have a camera on you 24 hours a day. Yeah.
Wow.
So the cameras are always on. But no, there's no porta potties. There's no tents. There's no campers. There's no toothbrush, toothpaste, toilet paper. You know, and that's what I really struggled with was when I got out there, because I truthfully thought this show was fake. And I got out there and I thought, oh, this is so fake, you know, and I got out there and it wasn't. And my whole mindset of this game was totally off because it wasn't what I visualized it was going to be. And so that's really why I struggled when I got out there. I struggled big time. Yeah.
Wow. Well, it separates the wheat from the straw. So now everybody wants to know about the money. Okay, so the top winner gets $1 million. The second prize winner gets $100,000. But what does everybody else get that comes in third, fourth, or gets voted off? Do they get some sort of stipend?
Yes, everybody actually gets paid. For every 3 days you're on the show, you get a certain amount of money. And what I've heard is each season is also different when it comes to that. So, you know, you get
sponsors.
So you vote, you vote someone off every 3 days. And so if you're the first one voted out of this game, you don't get a lot of money, and you can't go home. You have to stay there the entire 2 months of filming without a cell phone and without your computer. So no matter if you're voted off on day 3, 6, 9, whatever, you have to stay there the entire 2 months of filming. Now, we were gone for about, 49 days. But you're there. You're there the whole time.
And so now you were Survivor Nicaragua. That's in South America, correct?
Actually, that's Central America.
Central America. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Give me a geography lesson.
Nicaragua.
The bugs there, regardless, it's still the jungle. I'm sure that the bugs there are as big as your hand.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, again, there's no running water. You're there in a, you know, in your skivvies, and you got to wash that out. And you're there with all these different personalities from all different walks of life. You have to depend on one another for your survival, but also, much like life, you have to edit and filter because it's a competition. How did that feel?
It's a competition. You know, I get this question a lot. I get this question where people say to me, you know, how did they edit you? How do you feel you were edited? I really don't think that I don't feel like there was any editing. I feel like my true personality came out, and I truly believe that everybody on our season, their true personality came out. You know, that's why you take all these personality tests. That's why you take these IQ tests, because they really want to see what your personality is. And you can try to be someone that you're not, but, you know, especially – I'm going to use this for an example. They always say that when people struggle or people go through hardships, that's when their true personality comes out. You know, you can know someone, and then all of a sudden they're hit with something, and then how do they truly survive? What is their true personality?
Wow.
So I have to say, in our season, I truthfully felt like, you know, everybody had their own, that their personalities came through.
Well, and again, they want a random variety. They don't want everybody that's, you know, cookie cutter. They don't want everybody the same. They want the person that's a little bit more aggressive. Someone's a little bit more into the mother figure, the compassionate person, all of that, because that's what builds a team. What did your friends and family, what do they say to you now after they've seen your strength and your endurance come through on Survivor?
You know, they were very proud of me. They were shocked right away because, you know, I did want to quit, and I was crying on national television and so forth. So that was hard right away. I think they were shocked at that because, you know, I was a swim coach for 17 years, and I would always tell my athletes, you know, try your best and do your best you possibly can. And then here I'm on national television and I want to quit. So, but after the whole show aired, you know, they were like, wow, we're proud of you. And, you know, sometimes it's not about the money, and sometimes it's not about winning something. It's about what you learn and the lesson you develop within yourself and what you learn about yourself. And for me, that's what it really was. And that's why I love to share my story as well, because you don't have to have the best of everything to be the best.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, here I was with nothing, and it was totally mental and, yes, physical, but it was a lot of mind over matter as well.
Well, I'm glad to know that it was really real, because now when I look at those people on the other reality show, Naked and Afraid, girl, I look at that and I'm like, you can't be out there butt naked with nothing. And they are out there butt naked with nothing. And when they say reality TV, I mean, I've worked in television myself, and so I know that they create TV, but these shows are very, very powerful. And like you said, the camera is on you 24 hours a day.
It is.
So now
it is.
There's a,
mm-hmm.
You've been able to take this experience and become a prominent speaker. But I want my brains to get to know you a little bit better before the celebrity, before Survivor. Tell us about your upbringing.
You know, I grew up in an abusive family. My father was very abusive. And, you know, I really lived a lot of my life with a huge chip on my shoulder. And every time something would go wrong in my life or something would happen, I would always go back to my childhood and I would say, well, it's because of the way I was raised. And, you know, in life we can't do that. And I know this sounds absolutely crazy, but I truly believe it was when I was in the jungle all by myself. And there was one day, day 33, and I saw a video. They had our families make videos for us. And they gave us this cell phone, and I saw this video of my family, and I walked away from camp, and I sat on this log, and I kept thinking about, it's not what you have, it's who you are, and who your circle, who surrounds you, who are the people around you helping you, and so forth. And I always kept going back to my childhood. I was raised in a very, like I said, abusive family. My father was an alcoholic.
Wow.
And that was hard. Yeah.
Right.
And I always felt like I had to have somebody hold my hand. You know, another thing that this did for me is it really made me realize that I'm more of an independent woman than I ever thought I was.
Mm.
And that I can do things on my own more than I've ever had been able to in my entire life.
Well, again, like you had shared with me, to go to the audition in Los Angeles was the first time that you had ever been on an airplane by yourself. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I had flown before, but I had never gone alone. I was married right out of high school. You know, we had children right away, and I always had Charlie with me or one of our children. So I never experienced that of doing something on my own. And I know that sounds crazy because I'm sure a lot of women are going to listen to this.
No,
going,
that doesn't what? Sound crazy. Not
yeah,
at all. Not at all.
I never experienced that. So, yes, when I went out to L.A. for my casting call, it was the first time I had ever been on an airplane by myself. And I was going to back out. I was actually going to back out. And then I thought, wait a minute. You know, I have to do this. I can do this. And it also makes you realize that a lot of your strength comes from within. You know, who are
That's
you
right.
inside? We can be painted a picture, but, you know, we also have to say what is inside of that picture. That's so important.
Does your husband look at you with a new lens now? Does he see a different
You know, yeah, I'm going to correct you a little bit on that. Charlie and I have gone our separate ways since the show. He and I are very good friends. We were married at the time of the show. We're friends. That's a whole nother presentation I tell people, something I absolutely did not expect. He and I were married for 32 years. I had never been on my own. Walked into an apartment with the clothes on my back and a suitcase and slept on the floor for 3 nights until I, you know, got my feet on the floor. And there was a lot of bitterness and anger on my part, but I've been able to forgive and move on. And I know of a lot of people that go through a divorce, and it's very hard. But at the same time, you always have to remember you have children with the man, with these people. You have grandchildren. So the best thing is to get along, and we get
right.
along. We talk, we share holidays, and so forth. It's still very painful for me to talk about, but I do live on my own now. Yep, I live on my own, and that's I think. The show or my whole experience has made me stronger to say
right.
that, wow, I can do this. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
you can do anything that you can put your mind to. So you've taken
Absolutely.
Your experience on Survivor, your life experience, your upbringing, and now you have
mm-hmm.
become a thriving speaker. You are heavily in
Correct.
Demand all over the United States. Tell us how you were able to mm-hmm. create this career for yourself.
Well, you know, April, when it started right away, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. Zero. And after, I could not speak while the show was airing. And the show ended in December, and I was asked to speak in January, and I was like, what am I supposed to talk about? So I just got up and I told people about I just told them my story. And a couple ladies came up to me afterwards and they said, you know, would you be willing to speak at our event? And I'm like, absolutely. And I thought it would probably last for like 6 months, and it just kept going.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, I didn't know that speaking was this big. And the third year I started speaking, I had a bureau reach out to me, and I've had a couple since then. And they really kind of helped me get on my feet. And I've written 2 books. I have a website. I am now with, I believe, 7 agents.
Wow.
Just signed with a manager. Just got my CSP, my Certified Speaking Professional Award. So that was something I didn't know one thing about. But here again, it's about how you're going to get to the next level, how you're going to get to the next step. And I talk about those words in my presentation. It truly is about, you know, your attitude, your determination, your confidence in yourself, and that all makes a difference.
That's powerful. What are the 6 words that you use in your presentation?
The 6 words I use are faith, confidence, determination, desire, attitude, and perseverance. Those are the 6 words that I use. Mm-hmm.
That is
I talk about. I call them my six words to survival. Yep. So, you know, I always tell people I'm human just like everyone else. I get on stage and I tell my story, but I'm not there for myself. I'm there for the audience because, you know, just in the last couple years in my life, I've had a struggle, and I probably would have reacted to that struggle differently if I would not have experienced being on Survivor than if I wasn't on Survivor. Just knowing, have you ever heard the saying, it's 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you react?
Yes. And I've also heard, to whom much is given, much is required.
Absolutely, yes.
So, you know, again, the things that don't kill you is what makes you strong, and this made you strong in so
100%.
Many different ways. It peeled you like a banana, you know, many different layers.
Yeah, and changes. You know, I've had changes in my life. It was hard to go on the show. I had to change many things, but, you know, change helps us grow. If we don't change, we don't grow.
Right. You don't.
Yeah.
And we're ever evolving. We're ever changing. Every day there's something, you know, new. That's what I've been doing. That's going to be my next book. It's 365 days. It's what I have learned every day for 1 year, because you always learn something different. So tell us a little bit about your books. You're an author of 2 very successful books.
I am. I wrote Your Winner Within. And basically what I did with that book, that was my first book. I took the 6 words that I speak about in my presentation, and I told stories about, you know, my family, Charlie and I almost losing all three of our children in a car accident. That's my faith chapter. I talk about, you know, determination, desire, and I'm a quotes person, so I have quotes in there as well. And then my second book is called Write Yourself a Note. And what I did with that book is we all write notes to ourselves. We all make lists, I mean. We're all list people. But how many times do we make a list about ourselves, what we personally need to work on and what we need to focus on?
Right.
So that one, after every chapter, you have to write yourself a note. And both of my books are motivational. They're inspiring. I want people to read them and walk away and go, okay, I really need to focus on this, or, you know, because there's so much negativity in the world. And we need to really start focusing on positive, you know, how we say things, how we react to things. It is so very important.
It is. And, you know, I do that. Yeah, I check in with the board of directors running around in my head and my brain all the time. I do write myself notes. And I write myself opportunities to make correction too. Okay, April, you didn't do this so well. You might want to try this time, or you might want to slow down,
yeah.
or you might not want to eat this. You know, again, you're having that conversation with yourself. It's that neuro-linguistic programming, what you're saying, what you're intaking, what you're processing, and what's growing organically from that. It's beautiful.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely beautiful. So you are heavily in demand as a speaker. You're an author. You're a beautiful, independent, single woman. Where do you see Holly Hoffman moving to in the future?
You know, I just signed with a manager, and, you know, I'm hoping that I would love to speak to more corporations and get on stage in front of, you know, bigger crowds. My biggest crowd I've been in front of has been 2,800 people. But,
wow,
you know, I thought about that today. I thought, you know, after I thought about what do I really, really want to do with my life, it's not about the size of the crowd that I'm in front of. And it's about what I have to say and the message that I have to share with others. It's about my audience. It's about what they
right.
can take away from it. I could be speaking to 20,000 people and 10 people could walk out of the room and say, I got something out of that. And
right.
I could be speaking to 50 people and 30 people could walk out. I mean, so it's really, I really want to spread my message as much as I possibly can. I would love to write another book. And I also want to start spending a little bit more time with my family. My grandkids are close and, you know, I just absolutely love being a grandma. So that's, you know, and just working on myself, taking time for myself, because we all know we all need to do that. We all need
yeah.
to put our feet up sometimes and say, listen, I need to take a day for me, or I need to just turn my cell phone off, turn my computer off. But basically, I'm just going to keep going and spreading my message and trying, you know, to my goal is to be in every state. I've been in 43 states.
All right.
So that's the goal. I'm a believer that everybody needs to set a goal. Everybody has to have a goal in life. But just to keep moving forward and just see where this opportunity takes me.
Well, for a small town girl living at the base of Mount Rushmore in South Dakota, I think that you have really, really jump-started a phenomenon. And there are a lot of women that are going to look at you as a beacon of light. You know, you came from humble beginnings. You had adversity
mm-hmm.
growing up. Your marriage dissolved. But you went out and you
mm-hmm.
stayed in the jungle, and you were the last
That's
woman
right.
standing.
Yeah.
And you are
yeah.
a true
and
survivor.
And life can be like living in a jungle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
mm-hmm.
It's rough. And so I think that you're just absolutely wonderful. I'm so honored that you took the time out to be here and share your story with me and my brains here on the edge. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Holly Hoffman, and how to get a copy of your book. And if they're looking for a dynamic speaker that you will hang on to every word, believe me, brains, you better book her because she is amazing. I've got some of her videos on my page on Facebook. So be sure to follow that, and she's got some YouTubes and all that good stuff. Tell them how to get in contact with you, Holly.
You can reach me through my website at holly@hollyhoffman.com. The link still says org. I just bought .com. So we've connected both org and com. So if you type either or, you're going to get on my website. And there's a contact link right on my website. It comes to me directly. I check my email constantly. So if you're interested in booking me through that website, you can go right on my website. I'm also on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I have a Facebook page. So there's many ways that you can reach out to me.
Well, I'm so glad that you embraced us here on the Edge. Again, like I said, I can't admire you enough. Brains, check her out, okay? She's got a great book. She sent me a couple copies, and I'm reading through it, and I'm writing myself a note about how I can persevere and take some of the examples that she has laid out. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations here on Blog Talk Radio. I got great, great stuff. Art, entertainment, music, science, love, sex, drugs, survival. All here for you. Because I'm loving on you, brains, from the bottom of my socks, because my heart just isn't deep enough. Thank you so much, Holly. Be sure you come back to the Edge and keep
Thank
me posted, okay,
you so
baby?
Much. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, brains. Be good. Be kind. Be loved.